Galatians 3:22, how servants are required to obey their masters in singleness of heart. We've been looking at this phrase, singleness of heart, a very important phrase in Scripture. And of course, singleness of heart would be the opposite of doubleness of heart. Singleness of heart speaks of simplicity, where doubleness of heart speaks of duplicity. Singleness of heart talks about sincerity, where a double heart is that which is the sign of hypocrisy. And so we're trying to see from the Bible many ways that God speaks of, describes singleness of heart. We looked at a number of those last time. We're going to begin again this time where we left off and see more of those. Because as I say, this is a very important and a very common doctrine of the Bible because of its importance. We find it throughout the Scriptures. And so we left off with seeing how singleness of heart speaks of having a perfect heart. This singleness of heart is also called a plain heart, as opposed to a sophisticated or a complicated heart. We can see that in the book of Genesis and chapter 25. We have Jacob and Esau. Jacob, godly, believing man. Esau, a profane, an ungodly man. And it says in verse 27, and the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, man of the field. And here was a man who could really fend for himself. He was crafty, cunning, and able to come up with various ways of dealing with life of his own device. And what does it say? And Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. He was not like his brother. He lived a simple and pure, sincere life, not using all his subtlety and cunning to try to make his own way by his own devices. So we need to be plain of heart. Singleness of heart is also called a sound heart, as opposed to a rotten or a weak or a sick heart. Isaiah chapter 1 shows us the state of our hearts by sin. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. Of course, our unregenerate heart is incorrigible and incurable. It's set upon sin, cannot be taken off from it. And he says, the whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. A weak, sick, rotten heart. Of sin. Well, that's why the Bible says when we were without strength, Christ died for us. We did not have the power to will or to do any good thing in the sight of God. But then we find a sound heart spoken of in Psalm 119, verse 80. Let my heart be sound thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. By the word and spirit of God, our heart is cured and made whole. That's the next thing I want to look at. A single heart is called a whole or an entire heart, as opposed to a partial or a half heart. many people are partial or half-hearted in their Christianity. They only go so far. They only give it so much. They have other things that their heart is also given to, and so they cannot give it entirely to the Lord. But a sincere heart is a whole heart. Psalm 111, in verse 1, it says, "Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation." Whereas when the sincere are gathered together for worship, they praise the Lord with their whole heart. That shows that our worship is true. Psalm 119 in verse 2. "Blessed are they that seek his that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart." Now, if we seek God with our whole heart, we'll find him. We will not allow ourselves to be put off by not finding him. Other people are satisfied just to go through the motions, because whether they find God or not is not really of any importance. Just as long as they put in their time and follow along with what everyone's doing outwardly, it's not so important if they ever have any true dealings and communion with God in their heart. What did Jesus say the great commandment is? Matthew 22. Matthew 22 and verse 37. "What's the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." How do we love with all our heart? Well, in Romans chapter 12, verse 9, "Let love be without dissimulation." In other words, let your love be without any hypocrisy. Let it be sincere love and a pure love. "Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good." You know, hypocritical love is to love with our lips, not with our hearts. You know, to speak of love, where the Bible says, let's not love only in tongue and in word, but in deed and in truth. That's sincere love. Also in Ephesians in chapter 6 and verse 24, "Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ," period? No. There is much feigned and imperfect, that which is love in name only, which is directed toward the Lord Jesus. We have to love him in sincerity if we will have his grace with us. In sincerity. Back in the Old Testament, book of Numbers, chapter 14, they sent 12 spies to spy out the land of Canaan. When they returned, there were two different reports given. The majority of the spies discouraged the hearts of the people by bringing up an evil report. Two of the spies gave a good report and encouraged the people to follow God. Those two servants lived where the others were killed. Those two that brought up a good report went into the land where the others died in the wilderness. What was it that distinguished them from the others? Numbers 14, verse 24, God's pronouncing judgment on the unbelieving. And he says, "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me," how? "Fully. Him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it." The elders did not follow him fully. They died without ever seeing the land of promise. Caleb went in. You read over in Joshua chapter 14, Caleb himself is recounting that experience 45 years later. In verse 7 he says, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as was in mine heart. What was in his heart? Sincerity. The others gave report as was in their heart. What was in their heart? Hypocrisy. They were half-hearted. As soon as they ran into some conflict and some opposition and difficulty, well, we can't do that. That's too hard. We'll die. Where God has said, I'll go with you, and you will conquer the land and defeat the enemies there. But it wasn't in their heart to do that because they were hypocrites. Verse 9, he explains what was in his heart. And Moses swore in that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance. He told the others, surely as I live, you shall not see that land, you shall die. But to Joshua he says, as I live, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. You were sincere, so you and your children will be blessed. The others will not be. This singleness of heart is also called a united heart, as opposed to a divided heart. Why is a hypocritical heart a weak heart? Because it's spread out in all kinds of directions. In other words, it's not channeling all its strength in one direction to the Lord. It's caught in many directions to other things, and so its energy and strength is spread out. And you cannot be strong if your energies are going in many directions instead of one direction. And so in Psalm 86:11, David prays this: teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. And what's the one thing we know about truth? It is single, and it never contradicts itself, and it's unchanging. How can I walk in God's truth? Only with a single heart. Unite my heart to fear thy name, and then I can walk in your ways. Hosea chapter 10, the apostate people of Israel were found faulty. What was their fault? What was wrong? Their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty. He shall break down their altars, he shall spoil their images. He's saying that they were an empty vine. They bore no fruit to God. Why? They were professing faith in God, but they were also following after their idols. Their heart was divided, and so they were faulty in his sight. And they were not being blessed by him. Paul tells us what a sincere heart does in Philippians 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. How can you say, I only do one thing? Because you have a single heart. You're focused. You know what God has called you to do, and that's what you've set yourself to, and you will not go aside from it to anything else. One thing I do. That's a united heart, a sincere heart. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And only a single or sincere heart can do that. Anyone else will be soon taken off the course and go aside and never finish the race. This single heart is called a pure heart, as opposed to a defiled and a filthy heart. God cannot accept anything that is defiled. No uncleanness can dwell with him. And so our hearts need to be pure in his sight and holy for him, not in any way or at all set upon sin and defilement. Matthew 5, verse 8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. pure in heart will see God, but the impure will not. Titus chapter 1 describes those who have an outward form of religion, but their hearts are not sincere with God. It says, unto the pure all things are pure. Right? Sincerity makes all things pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They're defiled, and everything they touch is defiled, because they're unclean, they're hypocrites. They profess that they know God, or they'll claim to be Christians, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. And along with this, a pure heart is called a single heart is called a clean heart, as opposed to a dirty and polluted heart. The Christians are to allow no corrupt communication out of their mouth. No unclean thing should be in their lives. Proverbs 30 and verse 12. It says, there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. So having a clean heart is a matter of an internal cleansing that only God can effect. A lot of people clean up the outside and yet the inside has not been touched. It's still filthy, dirty, and polluted. And so we need God to cleanse us within. Psalm 51 and verse 10, David prays, create in me a clean heart, O God. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. A clean heart is God's creation. That's a sincere heart. We have to have our hearts purified by faith in Jesus Christ. A single heart is also called a good heart, as opposed to a bad or an evil one. You know, when we go to the doctor, you know, how's my heart, doctor? He'll either say it's good, or you've got some problems. When we go to God, He'll do the same thing. He'll either say your heart's good, or you've got problems. And remember, there is no in-between. We either have a good heart or an evil heart. You know, a good tree does not bring forth evil fruit, nor an evil tree bring forth good fruit. And so Jesus said in Matthew 12, all men are either sincere or they are hypocrites. It's one or the other. Matthew 12, verse 33, Jesus said, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. And the tree is the heart. The fruit is what comes forth from the heart. Our words, our actions, our desires, our thoughts, all these things are the fruit. And then he says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Even when a hypocrite is saying what is technically good, it's evil in the sight of God because it's coming out of a bad heart. And a bad heart cannot produce good fruit. In other words, a hypocrite can have the most holy conversation, and in God's eyes, it's totally corrupt. And then he says, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. You have to be good to produce good. One more. A single heart is called an honest heart, as opposed to a lying and deceitful heart. In Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 20, you see, this is why a hypocrite can do nothing good. Even while he is claiming to be a believer, even while he's going through the outward behavior of a Christian, he's lying, because he's not one. And God cannot endure lies. God is the God of truth. Isaiah 44, verse 20, he says, he feeds on ashes. A deceived heart hath turned him aside that he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? So a hypocrite is lying to himself, he's lying to other men around him, he's lying to God, and he cannot deliver himself from his own deception. He's got himself fooled, thinking he's something he's not. But then if you go to Luke, Jesus describes the person that's saved, and you'll remember when he gave the parable of the seed. Only one of the seeds describes a true conversion. The first three are false conversions, or the first one is no conversion at all. The next two are false conversions. The last one is true conversion. And he says this, but that, speaking of the seed, on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, bring forth fruit with patience. The word can only bring forth good fruit if it is held in a sincere heart. A hypocrite can have the word in his mind and on his lips, but never in his heart. Because the word is truth, and he has a lying and deceitful heart. Another thing about a single heart is it's a willing heart as opposed to a stubborn and disobedient heart. A hypocrite does what he does very reluctantly, very forced, and his heart is not in it. Where a Christian gladly and wholeheartedly follows the Lord and serves him. In Ezekiel chapter 2, you have this stubborn and disobedient heart described. Verses 3 and 4, when God tells him about the people he's going to be preaching to. He said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day, for they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. A stiff heart. It's hard, it's unbending, it's unmoving. It cannot at all be molded and guided into the ways of God. It's stiff. But notice in Exodus 35, when they were taking a collection for the building of the tabernacle, God told who it was he wanted to contribute to that collection. Verses 4 and 5, Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it. An offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass. And he goes on to describe what that offering consisted of. God says, I want this offering from those who are of a willing heart. And, of course, we know that God's people are willing in the day of his power. Only a willing heart is a sincere heart. You know, hypocrites will do outwardly what's required, but they do it kicking and screaming and resisting. A Christian does it because it's in his heart to do it. He's willing to do it. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Verse 9, David gives his son a charge. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him how? With a perfect heart. That's a sincere heart. And with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. And then in chapter 29... in verse 17, David is praising God for the offering that was given toward the building of the temple that he had just charged Solomon with the building of. And he says in verse 17, I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in what? Uprightness. Right, here are all these people bringing all these things, and he's saying, as we bring them, you're searching and testing our hearts, and the thing that pleases you is sincerity in that heart. Not the gifts, sincerity in the heart. God doesn't need the gifts. He just got done saying, everything we've given you comes of you, and it's your own anyway. We can't give you anything that isn't yours already, but what you look for is a heart to do your will. He says, as for me, David says, in the uprightness of my heart, right, he appeals to his sincerity. And he says, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. So it's a willing heart. It's also called a wise heart as opposed to a foolish one. A sincere heart is one in which God has placed wisdom. A hypocritical heart is a foolish heart because it thinks it is fooling God when it isn't, or accomplishing something of value to God when it isn't. It's only setting itself up for terrible disappointment. Romans 1:21 talks about those that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Right? Idolaters and false worshipers are not sincere, or they wouldn't be idolaters. They have foolish hearts. But in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 8, we find a sincere heart described. Proverbs 10, verse 8, the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. All right, we show our sincerity by receiving and obeying the commands of God. And a wise heart will do that. A single heart is also called a soft heart, as opposed to a hard heart. You remember when Moses confronted Pharaoh back in Exodus and told him to let his people go. Pharaoh refused. Why would he not obey what God required him to do? Because he had a hard heart. Exodus 8:19 is an example of that. Then the physicians or the magicians said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. Or we're dealing with the true God here. You better pay attention and do what he says. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. A hard heart will not hearken unto the voice of God in His Word, but a sincere heart is a soft heart. Job, of course, was a sincere man. God said that in Job 1. And notice what He said in Job chapter 23 and verse 16. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. God had given him a soft heart. A soft heart is one that is easily influenced, molded, and formed by God into His image and into His will. Another thing about a sincere heart is that it's called a heart of faith as opposed to a heart of unbelief. That's how we know a sincere heart. It has true saving faith. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10 describes how a man is saved, and the heart is very much a part of that. And if it isn't, no matter what our profession might be, we are not Christian. It says in verse 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With our heart we believe unto righteousness. But notice in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12, we have a hypocrite's heart described. It says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. A hypocrite's heart is an evil heart of unbelief. Now, 1 Timothy tells us what God requires in chapter 1 and verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Right? Do we have a pure heart, a heart purified from sin by the blood of Christ, and a heart of love for God and for men? Do we have a good conscience? Again, a conscience that has been washed from its guilt through faith in Christ. And then do we have faith unfeigned? Genuine faith, not phony faith. Saving faith, not a false profession. You know, when Philip was dealing with the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, preaching unto him Jesus from the book of Isaiah, and presenting him with the gospel and the claims of Christ, it says in verse 36, they were on their way, and they come to water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Isn't that interesting? When someone's really converted, they want to be baptized. You don't have to convince them. You ought to be baptized. They want to be baptized because they know that's what God requires as a profession of their faith. And Philip said, "If thou believest how? With all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." A lot of people take on a Christian profession for some worldly advantage or because of some worldly consideration, not that they embrace Christ and receive Him with all their heart. They don't believe with all their heart. They're just following on something for whatever reason, not because it's in their heart. But a sincere heart is a heart of faith. And then finally, it's called a true or a genuine heart as opposed to a phony heart. And that's what sincerity is all about. It's sincere. It's genuine. It's true. It's not phony. It's not put on. It's not trying to present a false appearance. It's not pretense. It is reality. I am what I am. When God had told good King Hezekiah that he was going to die, and Hezekiah prayed, you know what his appeal was to the Lord in Isaiah chapter 38, verse 3? And he said, "Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee," how? "In truth," not in hypocrisy, "in truth, and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight." In other words, we have to have a perfect heart to be able to walk before God in truth and to do what's good in His sight. Without that, we cannot be truly what we are claiming to be. We're living a lie, and we are doing nothing that God would describe as good. And Hezekiah wept sore. Now the Bible says we're to worship God how? In spirit and in truth. Not just outwardly. We can do that with our bodies. In spirit means with our very spirits and by the enabling of the Holy Spirit. In truth means according to His Word and in sincerity. I have walked before thee in truth. Notice how truth and sincerity are put together. Joshua 24 and verse 14. "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth." Those two are always found together. "And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." You find those two things in the New Testament also put together. 1 Corinthians and chapter 5, verse 8. "Therefore, let us keep the feast." If we're going to live for Christ, worship and serve Him, here's how. Not with old leaven. Not with hypocrisy. Neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness. But with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. In other words, get rid of all the hypocrisy, all the malice and wickedness, and serve God. Keep the feast with sincerity and truth. Or as Hebrews 10:22 says, how are we to come before God? Let us draw near, first of all, with faith in Christ as our mediator, but then with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. A true heart first, then a clear conscience and a clean behavior. But it begins with a true heart. Samuel said this was necessary in 1 Samuel 12 and verse 24. If we have any intention of serving God and worshiping Him so as to be accepted with Him, we must have this sincerity, this truth of heart. 1 Samuel and chapter 24, or chapter 12, verse 24. That's where I'm missing. Chapter 12 and verse 24. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things He hath done for you. And again, we started this whole series by saying God has to give us sincerity because none of us have it naturally, nor can we attain to it by anything we do. And so again, God has to put this truth in our hearts in order for us to be sincere before Him. In Psalm 15, a very important question is asked. Very important question. Lord, who shall abide in Thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in Thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly, there's the word for sincerity, and worketh righteousness, and speaketh the truth, where? In his heart. Not just on his lips, but from his very heart. And so David prayed in Psalm 51, after he had gone so far aside from the truth, he said to God, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." Salvation is a work of God in the heart, and that's where he puts his truth. What we need to understand is that everything that we do in sincerity is accepted by God for the sake of Christ. Now, does that mean I can sin as long as I am sincere? I know. There's two things that disqualify our behavior as Christians. If we do the wrong thing, no amount of sincerity will make it right. Or if we even do the right thing, if it lacks sincerity, it will never be right in God's eyes. But everything we do in sincerity, in accordance with God's word, is accepted by God for the sake of Christ. Even though it's not without some mixture of sin, nothing we do is absolutely perfect. There will always be sin mixed in it. But if sincerity is there, God accepts it, and the imperfection is imputed to Christ and forgiven for His sake. While on the other hand, all that we do without sincerity, God rejects. No matter how good it looks on the outside, no matter how good it looks, no matter how much it conforms to God's standard or requirement, if there's no sincerity, it's utterly rejected right out of hand. Proverbs 11 and verse 20, it tells us, "They that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord." That's a hypocritical heart. It's froward, or it's perverse. It's not right in the sight of God. "But such are as are upright in their way are His delight." Right? Hypocrisy is an abomination. Sincerity is His delight. Proverbs 19:1, it says there, "Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that's perverse in his lips and is a fool." Or chapter 28 and verse 6, it says, "Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich." Sincerity is better than anything else that we can take in its place. It excels them all. And without it, nothing is good. And so sincerity is absolutely necessary. For without it, God will not accept either our persons or our works. Now, the early church was greatly blessed of God, and he used it mightily. And you know how they were living? Acts chapter 2, verse 46. It talks about how they shared their possessions with everyone they had need. And then it says, "And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They worshipped, they fellowshipped, they had great joy because they had sincerity of heart in all that they did." And finally, the most important thing, those who are sincere will be saved, whereas all hypocrites will be lost. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 8, it says, verse 18. "Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved, but he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once." Psalm 41 and verse 12 says, "But as for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity, and settest me before thy face forever." God maintains us in sincerity, and then he brings us into his presence in eternity, whereas a hypocrite has no place there. Job chapter 13 and verse 16. "He also shall be my salvation, for an hypocrite shall not come before him." No hypocrite's going to stand in the presence of God. When Jesus said that he was going to cast away evil servants into hell, you know what he said? He described hell as the proper portion of the hypocrite. In other words, hypocrites are those who have hell most reserved for them and most deserve to go there. He said that you shall have your portion with the hypocrites, being cast in outer darkness where there's weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. Sincerity will be brought to heaven. Hypocrisy will be cast into hell forever. And so we need to serve God in singleness of heart, because nothing else will be accepted with him. Nothing else will accomplish its intended purpose. Everything else will be rejected and cast away by God, where sincerity will be well-pleasing and accepted with him for Christ's sake. And so the question we have to ask ourselves is, where am I? Am I sincere or am I a hypocrite? Because we all are one or the other. Either we are what we claim to be and we need to live in sincerity before God, or we're not what we claim to be and we need to ask God to give us a heart of sincerity, because only he can give it. Let's close in prayer.